Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to an extra infuriated episode of Sex with Timmery. Hi, I'm Dr. Timmery, and today I'm going to talk to you about something that is going on in the city of Philadelphia, and that I am all sorts of riled up about. I've got my little G-string all in a wad about it. So this episode is being recorded the day before a big rally to tell Dr. Mary Ann Layden, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, and the Daily News of Philadelphia, that they're big stupid faces, and I'm about to explain to you why. So a little bit of a background on the situation. So in late March of 2012, the Daily News reported about a strip club in Philadelphia where there was a prostitution sting. The Penthouse Club was raided by undercover police who went into the club and were solicited for prostitution by some of the dancers who in the course of their conversation said that they get half, the club gets half, and et cetera. And the women were arrested in a big sting. The reporting of the article was not just, this is the thing that happened, and then this is how many people got arrested, and da-da-da-da-da. Instead, they brought in an expert. You can't see it, but I'm making quotations around expert. They brought in an expert, Dr. Mary Ann Layden from the University of Pennsylvania, to discuss this matter as, I guess, perhaps the representative of sexuality educators. She's presented in that way, as though she is the voice of professional psychologists and sexuality professionals in the field. And she is not just your average academic who studies prostitution or sexuality. She's an ideologue. She's a person who has built her career in sociology and women's studies and counseling, believing that, and this is a direct quote from her, that porn is the most concerning thing to psychological health that I know of existing today. I don't know if she's like aware of anything else other than porn, because I can think of like a whole lot of things that are way worse than that. Like, I don't know, war or sociopathy or mindless consumerism even seems much worse to me than porn. But that's, you know, of course, from my vantage. So anyway, she's presented as this neutral expert. And in the course of the article, she says things about how she's not at all surprised, about the prostitution going on, because it's unable to be separated, that stripping and prostitution are on a continuum, which I would like to talk about a little bit more later, but that the industries related to adult services and nudity and sexuality and all of these sort of things are intrinsically linked to violence. And she insists that all strippers go into the business and end up getting addicted, and they're driven by their addictions to alcohol and to drugs that keeps them in a perpetual cycle of stuckness. They're just stuck there, and they're silenced, and they can't do anything about it, and they're all victims, and they're all there unwillingly, and it's a cycle of exploitation and abuse. And that the men who go to these places are all so wrapped up in the animal brain part of their interest in it, of seeing female bodies, that it makes them violent, and it's so degrading to them and their humanity. And that is, for lack of a better word, just like your opinion, man. as a professional in the field, I have to say your research methods are questionable at best. You're drawing causation and causality where none can be proven. You're making wide leaps of inference without any evidence. And as a person who works in the sexuality field in both capacity as a sexuality educator and also as a performer, you're kind of a jerk because you don't know what you're talking about. So let me bring it back a notch and talk about when she said that prostitution and stripping are on a continuum. So when I first read the article, I actually wasn't mad because I didn't read the whole thing. I got to about page and a half through and I was like, okay, whatever. These people are kind of missing the point in general. The fact that this existed, I was looking at it from a meta perspective. Like, the whole thing struck me as kind of stupid because prostitution exists all the time. Police often know about it and don't stop it because it's, you know, it's not politically imperative that they need to spend every hour trying to bust every John and every sex worker that they see. It's not necessarily the best use of their time in a city where there are more homicides than days of the year. But every once in a while, it will become politically expedient to bust a bunch of sex workers and a bunch of people who go and seek their services. They will get some sort of order to have some sort of undercover investigation or something of that nature, and they'll bust a bunch of people. And sex workers will tell you this, that sometimes they're just left alone, and then sometimes they have to be rounded up as political tools. And so we can have this conversation about sex work in the city and look at what the city is doing to crack down on this terrible thing. And to add to this narrative of why we need to crack down on it, we bring in people like Marianne Layden to explain what's bad about it, what is that it's not just the sex work itself, it's all these other things. Because people may feel uncomfortable about sex work, they may judge it, they may think that it's intrinsically bad, but to really get people on the side of punishing and arresting people for prostitution, you have to link it to things that we all actually agree are bad, like violence and murder. So I read the article and I'm like, whatever, they decided to do a bust because that was politically expedient to do. And she said the thing about being on a continuum, and I actually, to a degree, agree with that statement, but not for the reasons that she said it. Prostitution, stripping, they are on a continuum, but they're on the same continuum with other jobs where you're providing emotional service or physical service. So that would be masseuses. And I don't mean the ones happy ending, yay. I mean the ones that just actually are doing body work where they just like rub your back and you feel better and it's therapy. Or it's also on the same continuum of a hostess at a restaurant who's just putting in the emotional labor to make you feel welcome and VIP-ish. All of these jobs are on a continuum of giving of yourself in either your attention and your personality or your physical body. They're all on a continuum, and all labor is on this continuum. People give their entire bodies to jobs where they're contracting to, you know, fix your roof. Like, people end up debilitated from working jobs that are a lot of labor, and it's because that is the nature of their job. But we put different value on different jobs morally. So giving of yourself in a sexual way is a different category than giving your entire body to, let's say, war or to mining, etc. So for that reason, I wasn't all upset. It wasn't until I had my attention brought back to this by some awesome Philly activists who were like, no, read the rest of the damn article. Melissa Bang Bang, a local burlesque performer, had a wonderful letter in response to this whole article where she's like, no, we're not all silent victims. Some of us really like our jobs and you don't know what you're talking about. And maybe you should ask some people who actually do the job rather than just asking this random person and saying that she's the beginning and end of it. And it's also a really insulting article to sex workers to take away all autonomy that they have and make it seem like they have no choice in the matter. Nobody's ever gone into it knowing what was going to happen, worked with their eyes wide open, and left when they wanted to. That it's this perpetual cycle of victimhood. So there's a rally that's going to be held, and by the time you hear this, it will have already happened. But it's going to be May 2nd? What's tomorrow? May 1st. It's going to be May 1st outside the Daily News. So we're going to read some letters to the Daily News people out loud just to explain why we're pissed off. So part of what I'm going to talk about, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about now. So now you've got all the background. You know what's up. So now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell them. I'm not reading anything, but I'm clearing my throat. Okay. So as many of you know, as listeners to the podcast, I am a sexuality educator. I have a master's in education. I have a PhD in human sexuality. I have worked in the sexuality education field for over 10 years in the capacity as an HIV prevention counselor and tester, an adjunct professor, guest lecturer, consultant, etc., podcaster, advice columnist, etc. And through the course of that, I have a fair amount of information on sexuality, pornography, prostitution, sexual assaults. I have a fair amount of information about research methods and understanding how we can draw inferences between things that are related and how we can actually find out what causes other things, right? And from that perspective, Dr. Marianne Layden is an ideologue. She's not a professional that I would respect in terms of her ability to suss out the truth based on evidence. And she is a person who has an agenda and is motivated solely by that. And I don't think that anything I'm going to say to her or about her that could get back to her is going to change her mind about anything. And I don't think that any amount of research that I show her or any amount of criticisms I give of the studies that she doesn't actually ever cite, she just says that things are the case. I don't think that's ever going to change her mind. But what I want to do is just educate everybody else that she does not represent sexuality education. She does not represent feminism. She doesn't represent anything other than herself and the anti-porn agenda. And the other side of this is that to pay for grad school, and also because I like it, I have worked in the field as a burlesque performer and a go-go dancer. And from that perspective, she's just a big stupid face because she didn't ask me or anybody else I know. She found out all her evidence from her personal experience as a counselor for performers in stripping and former sex workers who go to seek help after severe trauma. That's not a descriptive sample of the overall industry. That is a descriptive sample of the people who need to go seek help because they've had trauma. You don't get your best information from a clinical sample like that. You're going to get a very skewed sample, in fact. The people that go see help or the people that have terrible things happen to them do not necessarily represent the entire category of people. And so that's her first problem. She's also coming at it from this entirely skewed perspective. She hates porn. She thinks that because it reacts in your brain and pleases you in the same way that drugs do by sending out the same hormones, that it is just as bad. Now, if you're listening to this, I'm guessing you've looked at porn before. I'm just going to take like a leap. This is just a wild assumption that you've seen porn before. And maybe a couple people or a few people who have looked at porn who are listening to this have a problem with it. Maybe it has become a compulsive thing. It's a way that you deal with stress in your life by having a sexual release. And it's gotten out of hand and it's made it difficult to function in real life. It's caused problems in your relationships, perhaps. But that's not the case for most people. And the anti-porn agenda wants to pretend that it is. And because we can't come out and be like, yo, I like porn. I'm like super into porn. In fact, I'm a fan of it. And when I feel like looking at it, I look at it. And when I don't feel like looking at it, I don't. And that's most people. But we can't talk like that. We can't just go have that conversation in the street without getting weird looks or losing our jobs or whatever the case may be. And so because we can't stand up for ourselves, they get to just say whatever they want. They get to talk about their clinical samples of people who need help with their compulsive activity as though those are most people. And most people just aren't getting help. And it's just ruining lives. So if you're a person who's consumed porn and are not addicted to it and don't feel like it's terribly ruined you, it hasn't made your relationship impossible, then you are with me on the side of, no, actually, we're adults and we can make decisions and we can do things in moderation without being completely destroyed by them. But that's not the perspective she wants to give. She's also giving this whole vantage that consumers of porn and consumers of live porn, which is what she considers stripping, are therefore going to be brought into a world of violence. And that it is this inevitable conclusion that if a man wants to go, and she says man because of course women wouldn't want to do this, if a man wants to go to see strippers, he's going to be immediately brought into this degrading place of he wants his most basic animal instincts sated immediately. And so he's going to become more violent and he's going to become just, you know, this base animal creature. And that's not only not true, like, we don't have evidence of that. Like, she's forgetting that these things are not intrinsically related. The narrative that they're creating is that sexuality causes violence, when in reality, by ghettoizing it and making sexuality this creepy thing where we have to go to seedy places and we need to be secretive about it, like, those are the things that make it weird. And that's what makes it awkward. And that's what makes it strange. And she also forgets that violence happens other places, and it happens unrelated to any other taboo activity. The violence happens at bars and restaurants. It happens in the street. It happens in homes. And we can't blame it on the things that are nearby at the time. We can't blame it on the alcohol necessarily. It's shitty people get violent. Bad people make bad decisions, and good people make bad decisions occasionally. And it's nobody's fault but their own. And we're kind of abdicating responsibility for when people do shitty things. And we're sort of lumping all men into this terrible group of these creatures that have an on switch and an off switch. And if we give them any sort of pleasure that excites them on a visceral level, that their brains are just going to shut down, and they're just stupid machines anyway. So as much as she thinks that the whole system is exploiting people, it's just her narrative. It's her story that we're all stupid, that all women are just going to be subject to exploitation, that they can't stand up for themselves at all, and that all men are a bunch of just animals. And so by giving that story to everybody, you're just giving a pass to the people who want to believe that, and you're further ghettoizing sexuality from the rest of culture and making it a place where bad things happen. And so when you expect a thing to happen at a place, it's more likely to happen there. If you tell the story that every time you go to some kind of store, some sort of thing is going to happen to you, then you're going to expect that, and you're going to be prompted for that, and you're going to have this self-fulfilling prophecy for that. So you're more likely to get drunk and act like a jerk if you think that that's what happens there. It doesn't need to be like that. And I don't know how many strip clubs she's actually been to. I wouldn't even begin to presume. But she's going to go in there with a certain lens. She's going to see certain things. She's not going to notice the 90% of customers who are being polite, who are not crossing boundaries, who are just there to enjoy themselves and are being perfectly gentlemanly or womanly. Is there a ladylike? I mean, ladylike? She's only going to see the guys who are taking liberties, the guys who are crossing the line, the folks who are taking out their misogynistic impulses in that space. People that have misogynistic impulses in other spaces as well, and in this space get to act it out even more. So she's creating this narrative, and by encouraging that as the academic narrative, when she says things like, this is a quote again from Marianne Lane, that women who consume porn are more likely to be sexually assaulted, and that the younger a man is when he consumes porn, the more likely he is to be a sexual offender. This is a thing she actually said without any sort of citation. When she says things like that, she's encouraging that behavior, because we're like, well, we can't do anything about it. I mean, that's just what we do. It's just sort of this, it's a naturalistic fallacy that, you know, you think if these two things are related, that that's how it must be. That's actually not the naturalistic fallacy. It's a fallacy. So I'm trying to wrap my mind around the many ways that this is wrong. First of all, her facts are wrong, and she shouldn't be given this platform, which is why I'm mad at the Daily News. Because if you're journalists, your responsibility is to report what happened, not to sell a narrative. Now, it's hard, especially in the context of our media today, to give any story without it being an editorial. But by having her as the sole voice of experts, they have done a great disservice, not only just because it's bad journalism, by not commenting that their expert is actually an advocate, is actually an activist, is actually an ideologue. You know, they're mis-selling what the story's about. And they're also, again, encouraging this narrative by saying that stripping is a certain kind of thing, then that's what you're going to get out of it. So what does science actually say about stripping, about prostitution, about violence? In reality, we don't have enough science to have any definitive anything, really. But what we can say is that we don't have a clear line of proof from one thing to another. And there are lots of people who go into the field of go-go dancing or stripping or burlesque or any of these related fields, and they don't have a bad time. I can give you anecdotal evidence, and that's not necessarily better because I'm not a big fan of anecdotal evidence either. But a lot of folks go into this and are just fine. However, there are lots of folks who go into those industries because they don't have any other options. And those people don't have any other options because they've already had a lot of bad things happen to them. And they see this as an option because they've probably already been sexualized a lot in their lives because they are often women. And that's often what happens to women growing up anyway. And those people are going to have a bad trajectory because their trajectory was already bad before. So you're going to see people go into these industries and have bad things happen. You're going to see people go into these industries and have good and bad things happen, but they're able to deal with it. And then you're going to have people go in and have a fine time and they make the money they planned on making and then they leave. And they have whatever experience they had at that job, just as the same as you've had ups and downs at any job you've taken. But you only hear these negative stories, Marianne Layden, because you do work with the people who are traumatized by it, who seek counseling. And that's your biggest problem, is that you're unable to see what bubble you are in. We could have a whole conversation about whether or not prostitution is actually even wrong. And that's the thing I've discussed on here before, that sex work is not intrinsically something I'm opposed to anyway. But what I am opposed to is this drawing of all these other webby connections to things like violence and crime, because when you make something a crime, more crimes are going to happen around it. It's just like marijuana use. Because it is illegal, it's more likely to be associated with other illegal things, because we have put it in that box. It's going to touch the other things that are in that box. It doesn't have to touch those other things if it's in a different box. And we can also have a conversation about this whole shaming of all these people and categorizing them all into the singular category. Anybody who ever wants to go see a naked body, anybody who wants to make a little bit of money so they can pay off their debt, or, you know, whatever the case may be, they just want to go into that job. They're equivocating all of these people with the worst facets of society that just also happen to happen there. There's crime in every industry. This industry just happens to be more salacious because of the sexuality. And I just want to remind everybody that whenever these narratives are presented, you don't have to believe them. And I think if you're listening, you already know that. But we need to share this message with people and feel more emboldened to talk about our own interest in porn or in sexuality in general, and being able to talk about these things and be like, oh, totally normal people like sexuality. Totally normal people like seeing naked bodies. Totally normal people like porn and stripping and can go into those things, and it doesn't have to debase and dehumanize them and reduce them to the objects that this anti-sex narrative actually makes them be. So I'm infuriated at Marianne Layden for being the person that she is and wasting her valuable opportunity as a professor to promote this agenda. And I'm mad at the Daily News for being what this is, just crappy reporting, honestly, is what that is about. And for giving her a platform. And we can also use this as an opportunity as sex positive people to be like, this is an example of when you guys on the sex negative side are just wrong. You're not really using the science on here, and you're shaming people into feeling bad about a thing that is perfectly okay to be into. So let's just all take from this moment a reinforcement of our sex positivism and our rejection of anti-science sex negativism. So thank you very much, and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimmere@gmail.com. And thank you.